Sometimes the world seems like a hopeless place, a perfect picture of a hopeless case. 'Cause somehow every now and then the whole world just comes crashing in, till it seems like every breath of hope has died.
Welcome to Hope is Alive. Yes, hope is alive in our Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because he said so. Jesus said in Luke, "And he said unto them, I beheld Satan falling as lightning from heaven. Behold, I have given you authority to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall in any wise hurt you. Nevertheless, in this rejoice not that the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven." Did you hear that? The spirits are subject to you, and you've been given all power over them. Now in Matthew 10, he was speaking to his disciples, and he said, "As you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. Freely received, freely give." And then in Mark, he said unto them, "Go ye into all the world, and preach the gospel to the whole creation. And he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that disbelieveth shall be condemned. And these signs shall accompany them that believe. In my name shall they cast out demons. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall in no wise hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover." Join us as we celebrate these verses given to us in God's holy word. Tonight we have a live interview with Mr. Everett Cox of Deliverance Ministries in Oklahoma City. We'll hear some more of his story and give you a chance to call in and ask questions concerning deliverance and setting the captives free. If you have a question about the issue of demons or evil spirits, then this is the time to call and ask. Join us because hope is alive in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Good evening, and we do welcome you to Hope is Alive. Good evening, Chris.
Good evening.
Thank you for taking the time to do the program tonight. And I think we have, is it Mr. Waldrop on the line?
Jim Waldrop,
Well, good evening, sir, and welcome in. Chris, I'll turn it over to
you. Thank you.
I'll be here. I know we've got some callers coming in, and I'll sure let you know when they call in.
Well, thank you very much. Good to hear from you again. How about giving an introduction for yourself for the people that haven't heard you on the program with us before, Jim?
Okay, my name is Jim Waldrop. I've been with Everett Cox Deliverance Ministries for almost 9 years, and have just seen some amazing things happen in people's lives, people being set free from all sorts of toxic emotions and demonic spirits, and physically healed, and people who have had self-accusation, self-hatred are now walking in peace and joy and love and power and might and dominion, and change lives, just change lives. And so we celebrate that, and it's just exciting to see people whose quality of lives have been improved by the gospel, by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. So we feel like we're in a go ahead.
Which is the promise of our Lord to set us at liberty, to give us a freedom.
That's exactly right. Someone said, Chris, that there are 7,000 promises or so in the Bible. And, you know, the promise of all promises is what Jesus said, go into Jerusalem and wait for the baptism of the Holy Spirit, which is the promise of the Father. And when you receive that, you'll receive power. And by doing that, we have the access to all nine gifts of the Spirit that are referred to in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And that's the way Jesus did his miracles when he was walking on this earth, is through the nine gifts of the Spirit. So we have the same access that he had to those gifts.
Well, in your experience with your ministry in the 9 years that you've worked with Deliverance Ministries there in Oklahoma City, is there any particular deliverance session that stands out for you as being just above par?
I remember a young lady by the name of Mary. She's in her mid-20s, and she was a professional. She was working for a legal firm, and she and her husband had one baby girl. And her husband had a good professional job, and he worked days and evenings. And they had been listening, Chris, to the case down in Florida, Casey Anthony, down in Florida, where the mother killed the little girl, killed her daughter. They had been keeping up with that and following that case as it went through the legal system. And they were in a restaurant at one point when the verdict came down. And the verdict was she was guilty of murdering her child. And this lady, Mary, said to her husband, "I don't know how anyone could kill their baby." And she said, "When I said that, there was a voice in my head that said, oh, you could do that." And the voice got stronger and stronger. And over the period of a few days and a few weeks, the voice became an urge. And she began to have an urge to kill her baby. And she would be in the kitchen at night preparing supper, and this urge would come across her to get the butcher knife and go in and kill her baby. So she came in for ministry, and I remember one time she said she was out driving around near her home with the baby. Her husband was at work, and she was afraid to go home because she was afraid she would do it. And she said, "I don't want to kill my baby. I love my baby." And Jesus set her free from that urge, from that demon spirit, from that spirit of murder that was pushing and pushing and pushing her to kill her baby.
Do you think that the spirits had followed her in them being so interested in this case? And in that moment that she spoke, an assignment was set against her?
You know, I do. That sounds exactly right. I think she may have opened doors somehow. And when she spoke that, "I don't know how anyone could kill their baby," that's when she first heard the voice. And that's when she heard the voice that said, "Oh, you could do that." And then it became an urge, and then it became a compulsion. And so it progressed, and Jesus set her free from that, and she's good today.
Well, just imagine what a tormenting spirit that is, whether it's in this manner with her or with anybody, how that spirit that never sleeps can just torment you here and there, 24 hours a day. Every time you try to do something better, every time you try to change your life or think you're going to crawl out of the pit that you're in, that tormenting spirit, as it's called in the Bible, just nudges you or speaks to you or does something to pull you back.
Well, you put the right term on it, tormenting spirit, because she was tormented, and she loved her baby. And can you imagine anything worse than something like that? She said at one time, Chris, when she was in the kitchen preparing a meal, she actually picked up the butcher knife. Isn't that amazing? That flies so in the face of logic and of normal desires, and particularly she loved her baby. So she was scared. She was afraid to go home.
Now, was she already a Christian when this hit her, or did she find salvation later?
She was already a Christian.
So just imagine how open people are that do not have Christ.
Absolutely.
And how susceptible Absolutely. They are to anything that Satan wants of them. And, you know, one of the things I try to teach people is that there's a covering. You know, God's order creates a covering with God, Jesus, the Father, the man, the husband, then the wife, and then the children. And any time that you edge out from under that covering, you are so susceptible to whatever Satan might throw at you. And sometimes it takes a while to pull you back into that covering so that you can be protected and that you could come back to your right mind.
And how do you edge out from under that covering?
Rebellion, sin, disobedience.
Good. That's right.
Opening doors, going where you shouldn't go, watching what you shouldn't watch.
That's exactly right. I was in a home recently where two nurses lived together, a mother and a daughter, and they wanted a house cleaning because every night at 3 o'clock in the morning, the dogs started barking, and there was an eerie feeling in the house, and they were afraid. And they were Christians. So when I walked through the house and started talking with them and asking them questions, I learned that what do you watch on TV? Well, we watch Paranormal, and we watch Harry Potter, and the older lady said, and you know, I've flown with Harry Potter in Disney in Orlando before. Really? Are you kidding me? So is it any wonder? So we went through the house and we told them what not to watch on television and what not to participate with, and talked with them a few days later, and they said, you know, at that time of night, the middle of the night, the dogs don't bark anymore and there's no eerie feeling in the house. So you're right about opening doors, because we're safe as long as we don't open doors. We're safe. That doesn't mean the enemy can't speak to our mind, but it means that we can't get into a situation like that.
Well, that's why it's important to be secured in the Word, so you can go back to the Word. And then when you start learning this power in Luke, all power over the enemy, it's like I made a note here today to bring up the fact that every Wednesday, I think there's an assignment against me, because mentally I get so attacked. It's hard to think. It's hard to do things. And I just have to go and take some time and pray and break that assignment that's against what this program is trying to teach people.
Yeah. Can I tell you have time for another story real quick?
Yes, and then Irene's on the line, so let's go with that story, and then we'll hook up with Irene.
Lady called, and her daughter would go in the bedroom, 15-year-old daughter, go in the bedroom, watch horror movies and play with the Ouija board, lock the door and it would be dark in there. So she came out after a while, a few weeks of this, and told her mom and dad, I've been chosen for a special assignment, and I may lose my life, but it's bigger than I am. And they said, well, tell us more. And she said, no, I'm not allowed to talk about it. They took her to a psychiatrist. She was diagnosed as being paranoid schizophrenic. And so they brought her in for ministry. In one ministry session, Jesus set her free. She's good today. That's been 3 years ago, and she's good today.
Hey, Chris.
Isn't that amazing?
Chris, I have a question. And Jim,
yes.
Is that the name of a demon, paranoid, and schizophrenia? Is that just a demon's name?
That's the demon's name.
That's just a demon's name, isn't it? And that just occurred to me when you said that. Because, and haven't our enemies, the enemies of Jesus Christ, who have set themselves up in the field of psychology and have written those rules, have they not just written that into the very fabric of our society, that the part of the whole medical establishment? You go spend $300 to take your daughter to a psychologist, and he says, yeah, she has paranoid schizophrenia. He's saying she has a demon. Or bipolar. Yes, she's bipolar. He's calling the demon by name, isn't he? The son of hell.
He is indeed. And what used to be known in the New Testament as demon possession or demon problems has now become known as mental problems.
And
they put a fancy name on it.
Yeah.
this mother told me there was never anyone in her dad's side of the family that had not been diagnosed as being paranoid schizophrenic. And I said, well, it came right down through your family line, through you and your daughter. That's just the way they travel. But Jesus set her free in a two-hour session.
Good. Praise the Lord. Well, yeah. I believe you got Irene on the line. Irene, are you there?
Yes, I am.
It's good to have you back, lady.
Well, thank you. Everett had asked me to call in and give an update. I went to Deliverance Ministries on my birthday in December, and I'll make it short. We went through a lot of spiritual things that bothered me. I don't have anything as exciting as a Ouija board or anything like that, but, things in your life. Well, the reason when I first scheduled, I canceled twice before I went because, there was a gentleman that called into the show a couple of weeks ago, and he said, well, can't you just stand on the fact that, you were baptized for remission of sin and received the gift of the Holy Spirit and stand on that? And so I canceled a couple of times when I first scheduled, and I even texted Richard and a gentleman that is a brother here in Texas and said, well, I'm not going, I'm standing on my salvation. But then I wound up going because of the torment. I had a couple of family members that passed away, and that happens to everybody. And one of them was suicide, and that happens to a lot of people. But there was torture there and torment there. Torment, was a word that I could identify with, because it, when you look up the word torment, it says you're teased, you're harassed, extremely, there's anguish. And I've never been depressed in my life, but there was torment, and I couldn't get rid of this in any fashion. So that's why I went to ministry, and I was skeptical. And whenever I went through ministry with Everett, we covered a lot of these issues, and there were some that were they get passed down through generations. What do you call that? I've had, we had some of those things that, I had, my grandmother had, my mother had, and Richard has a good point there. See, the doctors now, they'll all say, well, that's in your DNA. That's in your bloodline. People don't ever say, well, maybe it was passed down a generation thing. So anyway,
Irene, how long did you battle this before you came to Deliverance Ministries?
A couple of years. It was a couple of years, and then finally I heard about it, and I was skeptical, believe me, because I my aunt was a minister at one time, and it was very heavy Pentecostal, rolling on the floor and all that sort of thing, and I remember going to church with her a couple of times, and that scared me, some of the extreme things that you go through. And I went to Catholic school 1 year, and I've been exposed to different sorts of religions, I guess is what I'm saying. But anyway, after I went through ministry and I came home, I sent Everett a letter and told him, that everything was fine. I told him that, and I had a short leg, too. And I was limping a lot. That everything was great. That my mind was clear. There was no heaviness, no stress, no strife, no fear. And I could think of my relatives that had passed away and remember the good things. I mean, I can remember a pain. And I can, the suffering hasn't gone away, but it doesn't torment me anymore. Because when we went through the process, Everett sat there, and he wants you to work with him and praise that it goes. you know, for in the name of Jesus, those demons come out and they go. And I think that's what some people don't understand, is they think it has to be something really extreme. But it can just be small things that block you and torment you and cause you from doing things that maybe we need to do. And as he and even, you know, Richard has said too, that, you know, the Christians are the targets for a lot of these bad feelings. But anyway, long story short, the physical things that we went through, they didn't go away, they came back. My short leg came back, and he did a two-hour ministry with me over the telephone, and we got that worked out. I even had bleeding in the abdomen area and so forth, because, and I finally decided, and when I really thought about it, and through some of the scripture too, and some of the demons that Jesus dealt with in the Bible, in Mark and in Matthew, those demons, the apostles couldn't take them out of people's bodies, and so they told Jesus, well, what did we do wrong? We couldn't do it. And he said, well, it takes a little bit more faith, or it takes fasting. And I think that when I went to the ministry the first time, I didn't have, it was sort of, the physical part was, you know, you've had these problems for quite a while, you know, some of them all your life, so you think, well, this is never going to go away. And I don't think my positive attitude wasn't there what it should have been at the time of ministry and when I went there. But over the phone, I had realized that, and I, you know, my yes was there instead of my no. And now that's all gone away. I actually did go to the doctor, and they did a couple of ultrasounds to see, you know, where this bleeding was from. And after I did that, after Everett went through this ministry with me over the phone, and all that's gone away. The doctor said, well, there's nothing wrong. And the pain had quit, and he said, everything looks fine. So, you know, these demonic forces, they are out there, and they do go after Christians. And, of course, one of the big ones that is a big one, like he says, is unforgiveness. You know, not just of ourselves, but of other people. And sometimes you think you've forgiven people, but, you know, you deep down, has that ever happened to you? You really haven't, you know, and you think, maybe I just said I forgave, but I really didn't. You know?
And I think Satan's got a way of reminding you about the pain that another person may have caused you, to cause you to grab back onto that unforgiveness.
Oh sure. That I would even see, like, my brother, the one that passed away. Well, he committed suicide, and I still would see his work vehicles, you know, around town here, because it's a small town. That, you know, that he didn't have anymore, and it would just torture me. I would just cry and just crumble, and that's gone away. I can still see him now, and I go, okay, there's his, you know, and I could remember good things. The bad things I still remember, but they do not torment me anymore after going through this process. And it's just, this is a tool. It's a tool that Jesus gave us, because he probably knew we were going to need it. He knew we were going to need this. That we and it's a tool that will help Christians. Well, and, you know, and I realized that too in talking to Everett and going through that process there in Oklahoma. He would say to me, in the name of Jesus, you know, leave, you know, when we would get to a particular thing that was bothering me, leave, you know, unforgiveness for so-and-so, leave, because she's in Christ. And after he said that so many times, I thought, you know, we are in Christ. We're not traveling down the road with him. We're supposed to be in him. You know, we're supposed to be in there. So that seems like a very important thing. And this has helped me to clear my mind and to focus more on things that, and it is a torment. It's because that's the devil and his demons. That's what they're supposed to be doing. That's their job.
Now, how's your leg?
Well, I'm not limping anymore. It's back again. I have a way of checking to see if they're the same length, because I've had this all my life. And it's back where it should be. And maybe that's one way the Lord's going to tell me whether or not I'm doing what I'm supposed to do. My leg is, I'm going to start limping again. But anyway,
I remember the first time that we spoke with you. I remember the first time we spoke with you, you had to change the hems in your pants.
Yeah, always. I'm glad. I knew this would happen shorter because if I bought anything, you know, that were slacks or anything, they had to be hemmed up on one side. But, and also, and when you talk about these different things that people get into, I know I went to a little shop here locally, and there was a young lady in there that I started talking to her. I don't know why it came up, but she told me, she said that her son was, the school said he had ADS, and or ADD, yeah, ADD, the attention deficit, and they wanted to put him on drugs, and she did that, and she said, well, I've taken him off, because she said he just went nuts on these drugs. And she said, I told him, you know, that I couldn't do that. And I told her about Deliverance and Mr. Cox. And when I told her that, it was like she was looking for something. And she just lit up. And she said, what's that website again? You know, I gave her the website and everything and told her what to look at. And I said, well, he's often said that if couples will go through that and have minor children, that it will help the children too. And, you know, and that, her lighting up like that was just such a blessing to me. And I thought, you know, I know what a blessing is now. You know, when you can think you just help somebody in some small way. And I'm going to follow up on with her. And also, and I had some cards, of Everett's cards printed, and he said that was okay. And I'm going to follow up with her and give her the card kind of as a reminder. And also, there's a brother here locally that gave me the cards for Scriptures for America. And because she asked me, she said, what is your church? And I said, well, it's an internet church. And that I go to. And she said, what? And so anyway, I can give her a card for that too. But I have come across so many people, they will ask me, they'll say, well, what church do you go to? And when I tell them, they go, what? But there are many people out there that, I guess, my long story short, they're looking for relief from pain, and they don't know where to get it. They pray for each other, and that's what we should be doing, praying for each other. But they don't know that maybe some of these things, they could just ask them to go, and you can, as long as you stay in Christ and ask for these things to go, they have to go. And I finally got that through my head. I guess I'm just one of the dumb ones. I'm kind of slow, but anyway, but as I say, it's a tool. It's been a good tool for me. And I would just suggest anytime that people, you know, if you really think about unforgiveness of other people and unforgiveness of yourself, that was one of the big things for me in my life that I hadn't done. You know, when you, maybe I had cursed somebody's name, and it finally dawned on me, you know, I said a bad thing, you know, about an uncle or something. So I thought, you know, you have to say, well, forgive me for that, and bless that person, you know, if they're still alive. But anyway, I guess that's all for me. I don't, like I say, everyone wanted me to give an update, and I'm doing great. Like I say, the physical things, the doctor said, well, there's nothing there. So,
Well, wonderful. Jim, do you have any questions for Irene or any comments?
Well, I'm glad she's doing well, and she's got a good testimony, and she'll be able to help others. She'll be able to direct others and help others. And she's exactly right. If she makes the command come out rather than just praying, that'll happen to with other people.
Well, you know, when it's just in little bits, you know, you kind of have to approach people, in at least me, in little bits, you know. These things happen in small ways. Like I say, I have never been felt that I went down to the, you know, you read stories and things about people. I can't say that I felt like I ever went down to the pits of hell and, you know, have I had a relatively growing up. I had we were poor, but I never knew it. I guess that's a good way to put it. You know, that's kind of the way we were raised. I had a father that suffered in World War II, and he had no problems. And like I say, there are generational things there that I had never thought of before. And people call them, like I say, that it's just in your genes. It's now everybody says it's in your genes, and I really think some of those things are generational. And if we could stop that, especially in some of the children now, because those children really need help now. I see that so much, especially with iPhones and things. You know, they get so engrossed in those that things are being printed on their brain that shouldn't be there.
Amen.
You know, when you go to the doctor, Irene, they ask you, is your mom and dad still alive? What diseases did your family have? Mm-hmm. Because they know that DNA comes downhill. What people fail to realize is spiritual DNA comes downhill too. So
yeah,
we can have a problem because of...
My doctor, when I went to him, he and his wife have grown children, and they adopted two children. I think they're brothers, and they're small children. And these people are in their 60s. And I asked him, I said, "Well, how are the kids? How are your children? Are they doing your little adopted?" Because he had told me, and he didn't say much. And see, their mother was heavily into drugs, and she couldn't take care of them, couldn't keep them. And so I told him, I gave him the website for Deliverance Ministry, because I told him, I said, "Now you told me you're a Christian. I said these children, I said before you drug them." And he looked at me kind of funny, you know. Before you drug them, I said, "Check this out. See if this will help you."
I bet he did look at you funny.
He did. He looked at me funny like, or you know, and I told him, I said, "You know, just look at this." And I'm going to follow up with a card with him, too, and also a card with Scriptures for America. So I can do them.
Well,
you know,
Irene, it sounds like one of your gifts is the discerning of spirits, or discerning when someone might need to hear about Deliverance Ministries for the Lord. And it's just amazing how it seems like the Holy Spirit puts you in places.
As I say, I was skeptical when I went there, you know, but and when I went, I thought, I'm going to go. You know, we went through Bible reading 1 year, and we have a Bible reading we do through Scriptures for America, because that's my church. And that Bible reading really helped, because I felt like I was armed with the truth there. I didn't remember everything I read, and I didn't understand everything I read. But I thought, if I can go in there, if I feel like I'm going to be harmed, I'll know when to leave. But it was a help to me. It really was, and it was a blessing to me. And Mr. Cox, there's not a more humble man than him. I mean, he's not boastful or anything. He was not afraid of me. Sometimes, you know, when you get around people and start talking about different things, especially like churches and religion, you know, and so forth, they stand back, you know, like they don't want to talk about Jesus. I mean, they're afraid. so much fear in this world. That's a big one, too, is fear. You know, and there's so much out there. We can't be afraid of people. We have to just step out there and guard ourselves, you know, and read Ephesians, put on the armor, and do the best we can.
Well, amen. Well, Irene, I want to thank you for being online with us. We're going to go to our next caller. You be blessed. Keep in touch with us. Let us know how you're doing. And maybe we can do a follow-up again in a couple of months.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Thank you, Irene. Hello, Jess. Are you on the line?
Yes, sir.
Jess, this is Chris and my friend Jim. Jim, do you know Jess?
I do. He's a good friend.
Good.
He's
I'll
one
let
of
you
the,
handle this then.
Well, he's one of the team leaders down at Everett Cox's, and he's seen a lot of things happen in the spirit realm. Jess, how did you get into this? I know it's been years ago, but can you give us a little information on how you got started?
I guess one of the earliest times was a friend, actually my son called me, who lives about a block away from me, and he had his son-in-law was spending the night with him, and he called me, and he was very fearful, and he said that this boy was laying in the bedroom at about 3 o'clock in the morning, and he got a phone call from him, and he thought, well, that's awful silly that he is in the bedroom and he's calling me, waking me up. And he said there was nobody on the phone, so he got up and went in there, and this
now what, boy, what age was he, Jess?
He was 19. The okay. Boy was, my son was in his 30s, and he went in there, and the boy was laying on the bed crying, stretched out flat out, and he told him, asked him what's wrong, and he couldn't talk, and he kept trying to talk to him, and he's just laying there, tears are going down his eyes, and finally he just grabs hold of him and yanks on him, and when he gets out of off the floor, he yanked him off into the floor, and the kid got up and run into his bedroom with his wife, and he started telling him everything that happened. And so they called me, and I went down there, and the boy was telling me that all of a sudden this laughing started going on in this bedroom, and this foul smell came into the bedroom, and he couldn't move. He was pinned to the bed, and all he could do is he reached over and touched his phone, and he hit redial because he'd called my son earlier, and that's how it went about. And then so I asked him, I said, well, we need to go back in that bedroom. I really didn't know much about it, but I said, we need to go back in that bedroom, because when I walked by that bedroom, the smell was horrible. And I said, we need to go back in there and pray. And he said, I'm not going back in that room. And he's this guy's 19 years old. He's 6'2", and he weighs about 270. He's a football player. He wasn't afraid of anything, but something put fear in him. And I said, well, what?
Now, he actually heard the laughing, didn't he? Out loud.
He actually heard the laughing, and these voices said, you belong to us, and we're coming to take you home.
Ooh.
And
ooh.
Yeah, he had this, he was pinned completely, could not move his head or hands, legs, or anything. So we went back in that bedroom. Finally, his sister made him go back in there. She went in there with him, and the smell was just almost gag you. And I said, let's just kneel down here and pray. And he just, he got right next to his sister and my son, sat right in the middle of them, and shaking like a leaf. And he said, I started praying over it, and all of a sudden it was just you can control the spirit in speaking in tongues, but all of a sudden it just came out of me really forceful. And the smell left. Just instantly the smell left. And the boy looked up at me, and I said something else in the spirit, I didn't even get the interpretation of it. And I said, well, I guess it's gone. So I got up to leave, and he said, I'm not sleeping in here. And he asked my son and his wife if he could sleep in between them. They literally had to allow him to do it that night. And when he went home the next day, he wanted to get in his mother and dad's bed. He would not sleep in his own room, and they finally put a pallet down beside his bed so he could sleep beside them. And they thought he was crazy. They were going to take him to a psychiatrist, and I told him, I said, it's not that, it's a spiritual battle. And he came back to me the next day, and he said, do you know what you said? And I said, no, because I didn't get the interpretation. He said, the last time you spoke, he said, I didn't understand the first time, but the last time it was plain English. He said, you told me to surrender my life to the Lord, and I said I did. And then when you come back the second time, it was in English again, and it says, no, you gave me your life, but you never surrendered it.
Oh, that's heavy. body. It's strong.
Yeah, that was my first experience with
it. Well, this is really on the job training, isn't it, Jess? You and I have both.
Yes.
It's on
no JT.
And you know, yeah, and we're still learning. Still learning. Yes. It's amazing. And the more I learn about that other kingdom, that spirit world, the more I realize I don't know that much. I don't know much. There's just so much to it.
Yeah.
And that was a revelation. He really got a vision of hell or something because mm-hmm. he was that scared.
Oh, he was very fearful. And that lasted for about 3 months. This fear in him.
Wow.
And finally we sat mm-hmm. down and just for every evening for about a week, and finally that spirit of fear left him. So it was a very real deal to him, and it was to me too. After we sat down and prayed that night, and that smell left, I thought, man, there's a lot to this.
Yeah.
So I just started trying to learn,
yeah.
like everyone else. And every case is different. Jim can attest to that. The things we run into are sometimes very far out. And it takes a lot of faith to believe some of the things we hear.
I was down on a house. A lady had called, and she had been having things happen in her house and wanted her house cleaned. So my wife and I went down there. And she was about a 65-year-old, rather dignified lady. And she said, my husband is deceased, and I keep seeing shadows in the house, and I'm finding pennies in the house. And she took my wife and me up to the bedroom, and she said, my vanity, here's my vanity, and here's my bed. I can clean my vanity off at night and go to bed, and when I get up the next morning, there'll be a penny on my vanity. And she said, and she's a strong Christian lady. She said, mm-hmm. I think my deceased husband is trying to communicate with me. What do you think? Through these pennies. She thought he was trying to communicate through the pennies. And I told her, I said, I think 1 Timothy 4:1 is happening to you. In the latter times, some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Yes. And I said, if you keep believing that you're finding these pennies, that your husband, your former husband, trying to communicate with you, the enemy will tell you something that only you and your husband knew, and you'll be sucked in all the way. I said, yes. You will never find another penny. We know that nothing is done in the spirit world until a declaration is made. That's why I said you'll never find another penny. And yeah. So went through the house and commanded and prayed and talked to her a couple of weeks later, and she said, I haven't seen any more shadows and I haven't found any more pennies. But we were talking about the versatility of that other kingdom of the spirit realm. And it's just crazy because, like you said, Jess, there's no two cases the same, and methods don't work. You've got to just take each one individually and on its own merit and follow the Holy Spirit and come to a conclusion. Methods don't work. Yeah. So anyway, she's free from that in her home, and she was afraid. She was afraid. Yeah. So praise the Lord for freedom, huh?
Yes. I had a case very similar with children involved in the little town not too far from me, and the lady actually went to our church, young woman and her children and husband, and the children were, they'd moved into a new house, and the children were so fearful they wouldn't sleep. They'd stay up till they were totally exhausted. And she asked me if I could come by and pray for the house, and it was an older house, and I went by and I prayed for it, and I prayed for the children. I actually put the children to bed and prayed with each one in bed, and I thought we got rid of everything, and we anointed the house. I come home about 3:00 in the morning. She calls me and she says, they're back and the kids are bawling and crying, and she said, I'm seeing shadows. So I get up, I get over there about 3:30, and I just start speaking and commanding. And then I anoint the children's beds, and then I said, and something came to my mind, and it said, ask for warring angels. So I said, Lord, these children are fearful. They've been through very much. So I asked for warring angels, and I asked for their own angels with them in bed at night. And I asked you to let them see their angels, to give them peace. And all three children saw an angel sitting on the end of their beds. And I never had to go back.
Wow. So, well, it's exciting, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. But it's nerve-wracking.
We had a lady. Yeah, it is. Mm-hmm. But the end result is exciting. We had a lady and family out in Edmond, and Everett and I went out to the house, and they had a 13-year-old girl who was into witchcraft and not interested in coming out of witchcraft, and and she had been drawing pictures of dog heads and wolf heads and hanging them in her bedroom. And her little 3-year-old brother wouldn't come in. He had so much fear, he wouldn't come in the bedroom. And so finally, they couldn't do anything with a 13-year-old. They sent her off to Carolina to live with her sister. And so Everett and I went out there, and Everett told her to take the dog head, the pictures off the walls and so forth. And we went through the house and prayed. And I talked with the lady a couple of weeks later, and she said, they began to see wolves in their house. They would look down a dark hall, and there would be a big black wolf there, and look back, and it would be gone. So that was their fear, is they were seeing wolves in their house. And this girl was drawing the pictures and hanging them on her wall. So Everett had them take the pictures down, and went through the house, prayed over the house. I talked with the lady a couple of weeks later. She said, we have seen no more wolves. And the 3-year-old will now go into his sister's bedroom. No fear. However, in Carolina, her sister is beginning to see wolves in her house.
Wow.
Isn't that remarkable?
Yes.
Isn't that remarkable? It just followed her down there, and she was not interested at all in coming out of witchcraft.
Yes.
So it's exciting to see people set free and see lives change and see people remarkably better. And like we were talking about, Chris, when people open doors, they open doors. And the demonic spirits, we know, can go anywhere sickness can go. And if you'll notice in the New Testament, a lot of times when it said, and Jesus anointed his disciples to go forth, there's so many times when casting out devils and sickness are in the same sentence, and cure diseases are in the same sentence.
Yes. Yes.
So it's kind of interesting.
Well, while I've got you gentlemen on the line, let me bring up something and get your take on it. I know of a ministry, and they have one of the persons involved with music, and he'll talk about how when he starts working on the music, that one of the former deceased members will come in and help him with it. He says, I can feel their spirit in, come in. And I've tried to warn them that that's necromancy, and that the Holy Spirit would be sufficient enough to help someone with the music. You don't need a former deceased singer or musician to come in and help you put something together.
No.
Why don't you take that, Jess?
Well, it's a familiar spirit. He's familiar with the person that deceased. And they come in, they know everything about the person, so you kind of feel at ease at first. And you have this feeling that, wow, that is that person, but it is not. It's a deceiver. Once a person passes away, they can't come back here. So he is actually inviting a familiar spirit in there, which is, you don't just get one when you invite one in, or when you allow one to supposedly help you. And they will, I mean, literally will feel like somebody you know, because they're familiar with that person's life. You know, we have so many, I don't even know how to say this, but, you know, if it says 1/3 of all the angels fell, and you multiply out 10,000 times 10,000 times thousands, it's trillions. So we have so many of these things down here, more than one per person. You know, Jesus cast a legion out of one. So they get to study our lives, our every little secret part of our life. So they know exactly everything that man would do or would have acted like. And you feel that familiarity. The Bible actually calls them familiar spirits. So it never calls them a deceased person spirit or anything like that. So that's what he's dealing with. And he will be in a lot of anguish down the road if he doesn't get rid of it. He has
what it's done is it's really hindered the ministry. You can't, not everyone can see it, but there's a few that can see that the spirit is not there in the music,
mm-hmm.
and that it's been hindered.
Yes.
You know, some people still enjoy it and still think it's wonderful, but the Holy Spirit is not functioning in it as it should and could.
No, it will not. Not as long as you invite it in. Not
yes.
the mere spirit in, because the Lord won't go against your will. He'll give you warning signs, but as long as you allow it, the Lord allows it.
That's true.
We have total
true.
Free will.
He's into witchcraft, isn't he, Jess?
Yes.
I had a situation, Chris, a couple of 3 years ago where a lady came in and she was delivered from asthma, fear, and drivenness. And she's in her late 30s. And a few months later, the asthma came back. And we started talking about what happened, why would it come back, et cetera, et cetera. And discovered that she had put hair extensions in her hair, and these hair extensions came from India, and they were dedicated to a demon god in a Hindu temple.
Yeah.
And you can go on the internet and put in Google hair extensions from Hindu temple, and it shows these ladies in India that contribute this hair are poor. And so they come in and dedicate their hair. That's the most precious thing they have. So their kids will be healthy and they'll have good crops, etc. And they just take a razor and they hold their head over a basket. They scrape their hair off in a basket with a straight razor, and they sell millions of pounds of this hair to American dealers and to European dealers, and they make hair extensions out of it.
Mm-hmm.
And so she put these hair extensions that were dedicated to a Hindu temple, a god, and a curse came on her, and the asthma came back. So she tried to, this was on Saturday when she discovered this, so she tried to get her husband tried to get the extensions out and couldn't. She goes to her beautician on Monday morning, and she took the extensions out, and the asthma left.
Yes.
The hair extensions had a curse on them.
Yes.
Isn't that amazing?
Well, that reminds me of something that I dealt with. I was at a place one time, and I know that the people that were in there before had not been of the Lord. And there was one thing that was left there, and it was a clock. And I don't know why or what, but I felt that there was something attached to that clock, or there was some curse attached to it, or something had been prayed over it. And I just felt we needed to get that one clock out of that business so that business could operate properly.
Uh-huh.
And it's you know, you don't know what's been prayed over, what people have said about things.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I'm not saying that all hair extensions are bad. I'm saying the ones that are dedicated to a demon god in a Hindu temple in India carry a curse. And, you know, James stood up and when Paul went into Jerusalem to find out if the Gentiles had to be circumcised to be saved, Paul says, let's just tell them to abstain from pollutions of idols and from fornication and from things strangled and from blood, and don't put any more heaviness on them. Well, these hair extensions are things that are polluted by idols in the Hindu temple. So...
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, I'm not saying all hair extensions.
So find out where the hair extensions come from. Because a lot of people wear those. So a lot of ladies wear
absolutely.
Them.
Absolutely. And again, it's the source of what's been prayed over it. It's like every clock sitting around in a house is not bad, but this one clock I saw with this business, there was something that just spoke to me in the spirit that it needed to be handled. Well, gentlemen, we're running to the end of time, and I'd like to thank you for being with us, Jess. Jim, I thank you for being here again, and it's wonderful to speak to you. I'd like to remind everyone out there that if they'd like to find out more about this ministry, they can go to deliveranceusa.com. And from there, there's tons of resources, self-deliverance. You can find out about buying a book, doing the supernatural works of Jesus. You can buy it either through Scriptures for America, or you can buy it through deliveranceusa.com. But, gentlemen, thank you very much. Be blessed in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Jesse.
Thank you. God bless you.
Sometimes the world seems like a hopeless place, a perfect picture of a hopeless case. 'Cause somehow every now and then the whole world just comes crashing. Till it seems like every breath of hope has died. But hope is alive, hope lives on. Hope's not dead and hope's not gone. Just like a heart that beats in the night, there's still a deep. September morn, when the towers fell and all our hearts were torn, like the story of the man from Galilee, they were as innocent as could be. When the darkness came to take our hope, they went. But hope is alive, hope lives on. Hope's not dead and hope's not gone. Just like a heart that beats in the night, there's still a beat.